word of introduction, starting a new series of the shiurim. We've come, did a whole cycle. We started Kiseitse last year. We did a whole cycle, and now Bezrat Hashem, Blinader, starting again. And this decided a little bit different style this year. So it's a little bit more like Parshat HaShavua than last year was more like a drasha style. This will be more like smaller Divrei Torah on the Parsha. Although the Divrei Torah will be on the lighter side, so to speak. And a lot of these things I gleaned from the Sfarim of Shlomo Levinstein Shlita. That's the source for a lot of this. So we shall start Parshas Kiseitse this week. Begins.
So
it's
a famous Chazal, the Darshanim love, and that is that this is a hint to the, it's physically talking about the war against the enemies. However, the Chazal said is a hint to here the war against the Yetzer Hara. That when you go out to war, it's referring to the war against the Yetzer Hara. So I saw an interesting question from the Chidushe Yedidya Levi. He asks, why, if this is a remez to the Milchamas Yetzer, why is Oyvecha plural? Right? It didn't say Oyivcha, it says Oyvecha. Oyvecha is plural, your enemies. When you go out to war against your enemies, plural. So the Yetzer Hara is just one Yetzer Hara. So what's the, why, Kisei Selim Milchama Oyvecha, plural, if it's only talking about the Yetzer Hara? So, Zemaisa is once a gadol, that he started off his career as in Rabbanus in a small town. So he says, I was walking around the town one day, and I see the Yetzer Hara, and he looked like very upset and bothered and nervous, and you know, he didn't look good. So I asked him, what's going on? Why are you so dejected? You know, he says, because I have to work so hard and myself, and it's just not going. It's very hard here in this town. So I said, okay, good. Eventually, this Rav became the Rav in Berlin. And one day when he was in Berlin, he sees the same Yetzer Hara sitting at a bar in town. So he's looking good, a whole different face, you know, kicking back, his beer, and you know, he's looking good. So he calls him out and he says, what's you looking good? What's going on? How come you have a smile on your face? He goes, Baruch Hashem, he says, here in Berlin, I have a lot of helpers. I have the bars, I have the theaters and the movie houses, and I got all these helpers. I don't have to do the job myself. So it's much easier over here, much happier. So too, now we could add, we also have the internet, etc. We have all these extras that help the Yetzer Hara guns fine to do his job. So Meila, that's the Kitzei Selim Milchama Yevecha, plural, because it's the Yetzer Har with all his helpers. That's the plural Lashon. I was thinking that the after that it goes in to singular. Unisano Hashem Elokecha. It doesn't say it's Usatam, them, but him, it, one, singular. So it could be that if you go out L'milchama against all these enemies, then Hashem will make it easy for you and put it in your hand as if it's Nisano Hashem Elokecha B'yadech, as if it's only one. You, if you go out to war properly, could be. Next, there's on the pasuk in this sedra about the bechor. It says Kinyan Lishtei Nashim, Achovut Hamvach, Hatznuah, etc. And we have a bechor. So it says in the pasuk that kiyasa bechor beresna yakil atet lo pishnayim. So we see from here the din that a bechor receives a double of the inheritance. So let's say the example that there's just two brothers and there's $300. So the bechor gets $200 and the other one gets $100, gets double. So the word bechor here is written chaser. It's written bet chaf resh bechor in the psukim over here. So the Gra has a beautiful remez over here to this idea. How so? He says that we have in math, right? We have the units. We have the singular units. We have then we have the tens, and then we have the hundreds and thousands, etc. Right? So in the single units is one. What's double the single unit? Two. Right? What double one is two.
Okay, what's that in letters? Bit. Right? In the tens, right, the 10 units, what's a double 10? 20. What's 20 in Gematria? Kaf. And in the hundreds, 100, what's a double 100? 200. What's 200 in Gematria? Resh. Bet, Kaf, Resh, spells Bechor. That's the Gra. It says in the Pasuk, etc. So if a person has a ben, a son that's sorero moreh. So what does that mean? So if you look in the English translation, it says something like a stubborn and rebellious son or something like that. But moreh, I didn't say moreh, you know, these are rebellious, and moreh. So it's a funny lashon. What's this moreh? So the Yalkut Gershuni says that it comes from the word moreh. What is a moreh? A teacher. So what's the connection? He says, because you see, the way, when somebody, a kid goes off the derech, what does he do? He doesn't like, he feels, you know, he doesn't want to be the only one. You know, he wants to get a crowd. He wants to have people to join him. He doesn't want to do this himself. So Mela, he's moreh, teaches others his, you know, stuff to join in with him. So they could also, you know, have company. You know, so therefore, that's the ben sorer umore. It really means to teach, umore. He teaches others that, so he doesn't have to be alone when he's doing his bad things. It says in the pasuk, in per kaf beis pasuk avuf, pasuk talking about Hashavas Aveda. It says ki sirez shor achicho es seyo nidachim. See their friend's animal wandering around. Visalamta mehem hashev tishivim lo. So we learn from Visalamta that it means to, you ignore it, right? You're not allowed to ignore it, you have to return it. So Chazaldo darshan out, Visalamta means that sometimes you have to mitalim, or you're allowed to be mitalim, okay? You don't have to always return a lost object. Even if it has a simanim, everything, sometimes you don't have to, says Chazal. When is that? An example is, Zakein ve'eno lifi chvodo. For example, let's say an older man or a chasher man, a rav or whatever, and it's beneath his dignity to deal with this lost object, so he's pater, he doesn't have to. Bisalamta, he's allowed to ignore it. Right? Let's say, I don't know, he said this chasher of a rav is walking down the street, and he sees this pink purse or something, you know. He said, well, I'm going to walk in the street, you know, with this purse, pink purse in my hand, you know, it's a laughing stock, you know. So he doesn't have to. He can leave it there. He even have simanim and everything. He doesn't have to do a Shabbos Aveda. It's lolach v'chvado. So there's a maisa with Rabbi Kiva Eiger. That once he was visiting at this certain town. And in that town was a distant relative of his. Now this distant relative was, first of all, distant. And second of all, he was a very pashut yid, you know. And Rabbi Kiva Eiger was, of course, Rabbi Kiva Eiger. And he made a point to go to visit the guy, give him chizik, whatever. So Talmidim were asked him. He says, "Rebbe, it's not lefi kvodcha. I know it's beneath your dignity to go to visit this simpleton. You know, it's not like he's your very close relative, far distant relative. What do you, you know, it's beneath your dignity." So he said, "Listen," he says that yeah, it says visalamta in the pasuk, like we saw, right? And some meaning that sometimes if it's beneath your dignity, you don't have to do it, right? He says, however, that visalamta is only by Hashavas Aveda. Because it says in the pasuk in Yeshayahu, "Umi besarcha lo titalem." We have also the lashon of lo tisalem. But by your brethren, by your besar, your relatives, lo tisalem. There it's aser. You can't meet them. You can't ignore your relatives. You can ignore a lost object beneath your dignity, but you can't ignore your relatives. It's the mitzvah lo sachrosh. Bishor v'chamor yachdav. You're not allowed to plow together your ox and your donkey at the same time. This applies not only plowing; it applies to also if you have a wagon, it can't be pushed together, pulled together, whatever. But you say these two different meaning, two different types. Now, some before Shem Yerushonim already point out why in shor v'chamor. What's one of the ideas behind the mitzvah? So they say that the shor regurgitates. Right, and it eats, it swallows its food, and then it brings it up again and chews. Right, so the chamor does it. So when they're out together on a job, you know, the shore is like constantly chewing. So the chamor looks at them and goes, "What's this guy doing? I'm starving. This guy's out here having a good time eating over here." And it causes chalisha sadas, you know, for this poor chamor. That's why you can't put the two together. Anyways, there was once a maisa with the Mordechai, one of the Rishonim, he brings down this maisa, and concerning the Rashbam, which was Rashi's grandson, that he was known that he never looked outside his Dalet Amos. He always set his head down, you know, Shmiras Einayim, careful, you know, shouldn't see things he shouldn't, didn't want to see. He always kept his head down, he didn't look past Dalet Amos. So once he wanted to go up on, take a taxi or whatever. In those days, there were no cars. There was like a horse and buggy, whatever. So he wanted to go up on the wagon, and it happened to be that this wagon was being pulled by a horse and a mule. And which is, again, kilayim, which is azasar to, you know, you can't be pushed by these two things. So he's about to go on it when a nes happened, and out of the blue, his brother showed up, Rabbeinu Tam, right, another grandson of Rashi, right, Rabbeinu Tam, his brother, point, you know, happened to show up right in and said, "What are you doing? Stop! You know, what is it? This is, you can't go on this wagon. It's being pulled by a horse and a mule." So he saved them. And the way it goes is he was kind of giving him muster. He says, "You see, you shouldn't be such a overly tzaddik so much. You know, latziyet tzaddik harbe. Too much of a tzaddik. You know, you're looking down, looking out. Look, Yamos are over in Avera." You know. It's interesting because I saw this. It was reminded me of a maisa, and that, you know, Kinas knew. So what was Rashbam doing? You know, it's true. Look what he almost did. This, it wasn't for this nes that happened. You know, so to answer this, I was thinking, reminded me of the story. This there was the guy was at a train station, and he was a friend. The guy he knew was, you know, bumps into him, and he says, "Oh, where are you going?" He goes, "Oh, I'm going to such and such a town." He goes, "Oh," he knew that, you know, cost quite a bit of money and the ticket, and he didn't think this guy really had the money. So he says, "Do you have the money to go to travel?" So he says, "No." He says, "You don't have the money." He says, "So what are you going to do?" He says, "Hashem Yazor." He says, "What do you mean Hashem Yazor? You got to buy a ticket." He goes, "I know, but Hashem Yazor." He goes, "That's ridiculous. Hashem Yazor. You have a ticket. You don't have a ticket? No. You have money for a ticket? No. So what are you, Hashem Yazor?" He goes, "Hashem Yazor." "That's ridiculous." I'm telling you, that's ridiculous. It's okay. Anyway, he's standing, He comes back a few minutes. You know, train's about to come any minute. He goes, no. So yeah, did Hashem help you? You have a ticket?" He goes, "No." So he says, "What are you going to do? The train's, look, train's coming right now." He goes, "Hashem Yazor." "It's ridiculous, Hashem Yazor." Okay, all of a sudden, train pulls up. Everybody starts getting on, you know, in the line, you know, started filing on. It comes up to him, you have the ticket now? No. He says, "No." Says, "Hashem Yazor." Ridiculous. Anyways, the guy was just about to go onto the train. Again, no ticket in his hand. About to step on. The guy comes back to me again. He goes, "Okay, now, last chance, okay? You have your ticket? He goes, "No." "Uh-huh. You see, I told you Hashem wouldn't help you." He says, "You know, I knew it. So here's a ticket. I bought you anyway. I knew Hashem wasn't going to help you. So just take your ticket. And now you know I'm right." So you see that gets the Yadda Shemaya. I once heard this, Amish. I heard this once. This person was talking, not such a firm person. He had a child that was like learning in Kollel or whatever, and he says, "You know, I told my kid, you know, you have to go out to work and that." And he always says, "No, Hashem will take care. You know, I'm sending lawyers over there." And he says, "And I told him it's ridiculous. You know, Hashem doesn't help. I send them money every month, you know, to live. Hashem doesn't help. You know, Hashem's help." Anyway, so too, Rabbeinu the Rashbam, look, I looks down, Hashem helps, I, you know, Rabbeinu Tam, you know, says, "See, what would you have done had I not been here?" I say, that's Hashem helping him. There's another maisa with the Chasam Sofer. And once somebody came to him for a loan, so he gave him some money, and the guy took the money and he invested it in coffee beans or whatever. And as it happened, the whole shipment of coffee beans, whatever, a ship that was transporting went down, and because he had bought coffee, he made a killing. Okay, made a lot of money, and so he came back to the customer service to pay back his, now no problem, you know, pay back his loan. So he gave it back to him. He was so happy, you know, he made all this money. He gave the Chasam Sofer his money back, and he says, "You know, I also bought you a gift." because, you know, because of you, you know, this loan, I was able to thing, and he brought this fancy cup with beautiful jewels all over adorning it or whatever, and he handed it to the Chasam Sofer. So Chasam Sofer takes it and he goes, psh, really nice. He's looking at it. And the Talmidim are standing there and they're like, what's going on? It's Ribbis. You know, he's returning, gave him, besides the loan, he's giving him this cup. It's Ribbis. And the Chasam Sofer is like, wow, yeah. So they're like stunned, they don't know what to say. So all of a sudden, they see the Rebbe, Chasam Sofer, giving it back to the guy and says, sorry, I can't take it, it's Ribbis. So they didn't know, why did he take it, you know, and then give it back? Why didn't he just say it's Ribbis? Like what? So he said, I'll tell you a story. He said, it's my Rebbe. Chasam Sofer isn't the Rebbe, it's from Nassim Adler. He said, my Rebbe was when he was very old, and he was called out to do something, Tzorach Klal Yisrael, whatever it was. He had to go somewhere to help Klal Yisrael. He was very old and weak, and it was mamash mesiris nefesh on his part to make this journey. So he was going on this, horse and buggy, whatever, also traveling. And he says, I was with him at the time, and we were traveling. And it was in the winter, it was snowy, muddy, this. All of a sudden, the wagon got stuck in the mud, and the snow and the mud, it got stuck. And the driver hit the horse, didn't want to budge, couldn't get it out. So he says, okay, I gotta get out of here. So he says, let me go to the nearby town here, I'll get a couple more animals, hook it up, and to be able to, you know, pull the wagon out. Fine. So they waited a little while, finally the guy comes back, and he hooks up the animals, and all of a sudden, Chasam Sofer sees his Rebbe, or Nassim Adler, this old man, jump off the wagon, and start dancing in the snow. So, he's like, what's going on here? What are you dancing about? So he says, I'll tell you. He says, I'm an old man, and what I do my whole life? I'm sitting in basement my whole life, right? I don't know, sick in animals and this and that, whatever. So there's certain mitzvahs which are, I never dream of, never come near me. I never have an opportunity, you know, to do a mitzvah, certain mitzvahs, right? One of them is this mitzvah of, losachra shor v'chamor yachtav. Like, how often I plow with my donkey, never comes my way. But what happens is, here I was sitting on this wagon, and, waiting for these other animals to come. So if you noticed, he didn't bring more horses. He brought a couple of oxen or whatever, and parim, and he hooked them up. So that's the horse and the ox. Well, that's us, so you can't go. So when I saw that, I was so happy. Baruch Hashem, now I can perform the mitzvah of not, you know, being pushed by a horse and an ox. So that's why I jumped off the wagon and started dancing. So it says, so he said that Luchura was because of, he was Moser Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. So Hashem gave him the schus of being able to do this mitzvah he doesn't usually do. So says the Chasam Sofer, so that's the same thing with me. He says, I'm not a rich man. How often do I lend money, Bechlal? You know, it happened to me, I had a little bit extra cash. A guy came at the right time and he wanted a loan, so I gave him a loan. Very rare to ever give people a loan. I don't have the money to lend people. Finally, I did. And what happens? The guy comes back and he gives you ribbis. Wow, well, how often do I have a chance of doing the mitzvah of not taking ribbis? So he gave me the cup. I was like, wow, you know, here, I'm going to do the mitzvah now. Hinei muchen wazom, and I gave back the cup. He says, I'm not taking his ribbis. Ah! So that's why he says, I did what I did. Okay. It says in the Pasuk, Kaf Gimel He. Okay, it says, find it here. Nope. Okay, so it says here, Lo Yavo Amoni Omavi B'Kal Hashem. So the Amon and Moav are not allowed to come into Kal Hashem, Miri into us, Gamdur Asiri, etc. Why? Says the Torah, Al Devar Asher Lokid Mueschem Balechu B'Mayim B'Derech B'Sischem Mitzrayim. Because when you came out of Mitzrayim, they didn't offer up for give you bread and water. Vasher, and they hired Bilam ben Beor Miftor Aram Naraim to curse you. So a lot of the Forshim asked the same question over here. It's very strange. It's two things. Why? It's like saying, Lamashal, you know, this guy's a mass murderer, okay, every day he kills 10 people, you know, and you say, you know, this guy, terrible. Why? He very rarely smiles. This guy very rarely smiles, you know, always a frown on his face. That's what's bad about the guy? That he walks around with a frown? The guy kills 10 people every day! What's bad about him is he has a frown on his face. Ooh. So to hear, what they hired Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael, which would mean the destruction of all Klal Yisrael, and why can't they come in? First of all, because we didn't give us bread and water. What? Bread and water? What's that? They wanted to curse us. What are you talking about the bread and water for? That's nothing compared to the second thing. What are you even mentioning it? You didn't give bread and water. They wanted to curse us. So different answers, famous Magim Yidubin, I think we said actually last year in this year. Another possible answer is that the Amon Moav, they could tie it like this. They could say, you know what, Lechem, we didn't give them bread. You know why we didn't give bread and water to Klal Yisrael? Because, see, who's Klal Yisrael anyways? And if you'll say, what do you mean it's Klal Yisrael? You know what? They came out of Mitzrayim. What happened when they came out? With Eser Makos. Then they came to the Yam. Kriyas Yam Suf, which all the nations heard and everything. So what do you mean? It was Klal Yisrael. Well, look at these miracles. Right? So they could claim, we don't believe in the supernatural stuff. Yeah, it was all natural occurrences, whatever, as people say today. Big wind came, blew the Yam, whatever. It's all natural. We don't believe in any of this supernatural stuff. Okay, so that they didn't give bread and water is not necessarily a taina, because they could claim and we didn't offer them gifts and everything because we thought that all these things that happened with stam supernatural stuff, we don't believe it. Until what happened, says the pasu, they hired Bilam to curse them. What, curse them? I can see you hire Bilam to fight them with a war, physical, battle, okay. But to curse them, words are going to hurt. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me, right? When words don't do anything. You believe in supernatural things, that words can have an effect. So now, there's a tying against you also, you didn't give the bread and the water. There's a pasuk says, Motza sosecha tishmor vasisa ma shenadarta l'shem. That we have to keep our oaths that we make to Hashem. So there's a maisa, that one Rosh Hashanah, by the Vizhnitzer Rebbe, there was a guest that came to spend Rosh Hashanah by the Rebbe. So, fine, comes in, Marav, very inspiring. And then, after Marav, you say a Kapitel Tehillim, right? Le David Mizmor. Right? Le David Mizmor, Le Shemar, Zimlo, Tevel, Yoshveva. Right? You say the Mizmor, Pasuk by Pasuk. So fine, so they're saying the puzzle by puzzle. All of a sudden they get to the puzzle and it says, Asher lo nasa l'shav nafshi, v'lo nishba min mirma, right? Mi yalev ar Hashem, who's going to come up to the Hashem? Somebody that's lo nishba la mirma, somebody that doesn't swear, falsely. So all of a sudden, the Rebbe starts crying uncontrollably. When he said, v'lo nishba la mirma, they're not supposed to swear falsely, he starts crying. So the guest was there. He goes, what? The Rebbe's crying? Wow. The Rebbe makes false oaths? What's going on? Why, of all places to cry, he's crying over here? So he approached him after, he said, Shana Tova to him afterwards. So he asked the Rebbe, he goes, what's this dos? So the Rebbe says, I'll tell you, there's a Gemara in Nida. Right? The Gemara in Nida Daflam. It says that before a person comes into the world, in Shemayim, they mashbiah him. They make him swear that what are the words that tiyeh tzadik ve'al tiyeh rasha. Then you have to. They make a person swear he has to be a tzadik and not a rasha. So he says that's why I was crying. I swore before I came to the world I'll be a tzadik and not a rasha. And maybe I was a nishba l'mirma. Maybe my oath was not 100%. One last vort. End with this. We also have in the Sedra the union of get. It says v'nasan la sefer krisus, right? You give nasan biyada, put the sefer krisus in the woman's hand. Union of get. So the grab makes interesting observation, and that is the Torah doesn't say the word get. Doesn't say the word get anywhere in the Torah. It's a chazal, whatever they call it, a get. This thing that we give the woman. It says in the Torah sefer krisus, a book of cutting off, whatever. But it doesn't say get. So this get is a word invented by chazal or whatever to sefer krisus, call it a get. So he says, why this word? Why of all words, why would get come from? So the Gras says something very interesting. He says because these two letters, gimel and tes, never come anywhere in Tanakh, never come next to each other. There's no word that has those two letters, Gimel and Tes, next to it. There's no such word that contains a Gimel and a Tes that is right next to each other. Therefore, what does this Gimel and Tes represent? Perud, separation. It can never go together. That's why a husband and wife, they're separating, and they can't get together. So that's why Gimel and Tes don't go together. So, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, asked though, okay, but that's not the only two letters that are not found together in Tanakh. He says, what about Zayin and Tes are never together? Zayin and Sadi Sofis, Samech and Sadi Sofis. There's a few groups that you'll never find together. So why Dafka Get and Gimel Tes? So he says, okay, very simply, because it's the first in the order of the Aleph Beis. Right, the one only one that like, you have. The next one is already Zayin Tes, right? But Gimel, the first one you hit is Aleph Beis Gimel Tes. That's the first one you hit in the Aleph Beis, so that's why they use that Gimel Tes. And the other ones are later on in the Aleph Beis. That's all. And finally, another reason why they say Get is choose the word Get could be. That's very nice. Is that if you take the word Get Gimel Tes, right? So you take the letter Gimel. What's the letter that comes before Gimel and after Gimel? So before Gimel is base, after Gimel is Dalet, right? Base, Dalet, the two sides. Okay. Now let's say you were to write underneath the letter Tes. What comes before the letter Tes? Ches. What comes after the letter Tes? Yud. Okay. So we have Ches and underneath Tes, we have a Gimel. Excuse me, Tes, right? Get. And before is, we said, base, and then after Dalet, and then we have the test with our Ches after Yud. So if you take the letters that are before and after, okay, is what? Base, Dalet, and Ches and Yud. It spells together, biyachad. To be together. Right? And those, therefore, Gimel Tes is in the middle, and these are the outer letters, so the Gimel and Tes, the Get, breaks apart the biyachad. So when a couple's together, the Get is what breaks the biyachad, and therefore that's why it's called a Get. So, Bezrat Hashem, we shouldn't know it's one of those mitzvahs that you actually don't want to try to be mekayim, and Bezrat Hashem, we shouldn't have to. We should only see good and positive marriages in Klal Yisrael, and marriages that last, and it's binyanei olam. And Bezrat Hashem, we should be zocha to a ksivek simatova lanu lechol Yisrael, and the bias mishiach tzidkenu b'mehir yameinu. Amen.